Good morning. So we are going to look at that passage that Bruce just read. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's Ephesians chapter 6 where we're carrying on. And the screen's flickering, so all the more reason to get the Bible out. I am reading from ESV, but you'll be able to follow along, of course. So we are coming down to the end of our series in Ephesians here. This is kind of the concluding summary that Paul is making in this letter. Remember, this is a letter the Apostle Paul wrote to this church in Ephesus. About 60, he's under house arrest in Rome, so some 20 or so years maybe after he'd planted it. And so he's writing back with all these instructions that we've been looking at. And so in this part, he's going to kind of wrap it up. He's going to summarize it. And it's a familiar passage. We've probably heard that armor of God passage before. And so we're going to be looking at that. But I think what he's looking to do in this is to summarize, is to kind of give us a picture, to help us to remember everything that we've been taught to this point, to help us to apply it. And that's why it starts with finally. He starts that verse there, finally, in verse 10, be strong in the Lord. And because this is a wrap-up. And so often we've probably learned it. I know the kids learned it in Sunday school and stuff, the armor of God. And I think often we look at it in this isolated little piece. But remember, this is part of a letter. One flowing letter. They added chapters and verses later. Okay, so it's one flowing letter. And this is the way he ties it all together. And so the way we're going to look at this today, we're going to see that really what he's looking to do is that, like, he's giving us a picture, because in that day, they would have seen Roman soldiers frequently, right? That would have been commonplace in the market, everywhere they're going. If they went out of their house, it's pretty likely that they're going to see a Roman soldier. And so he's going to take all the truths that he's taught us, and he's going to give us this picture that they're going to see, or we can picture. We've seen the movies. We know what a soldier looked like, right? You can kind of have a picture in your head what this armor looked like. And so it's something for us to picture, like, but when we see that, we visualize the truths that he's taught us and how to apply those. And so that's what the picture is today. It's going to kind of bring it together, and then next week we'll finish off Ephesians with just his benediction. But today, that's how we're going to look at this armor of God. And so it starts off there, like I said, it starts off with finally, and then it says, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So you can see how he's starting this conclusion. Everything he's talked about to this point, remember the first three chapters are like all about who we are in Christ, our identity, that we're children, sons and daughters of God, everything that God has given us. And then what do we do with that? Well, then we walk it out, we've said. And so we walked out in community first, Ephesians chapter 4, we don't do it alone, so we walk in community and in unity together, right? We're not walking, doing this Christian life by ourselves. And then in our relationships, we talked about in our marriage relationship and parents, and last week we talked about our work relationships and just how we walk out the Christian life. We've talked about walking in wisdom, walking in the light instead of in the darkness or in foolishness. So now he's going to kind of wrap all this up, and he starts off, and it's kind of like I pictured, like, you know, a coach speaking to his coach team. He's given the game plan. That's what we've done the last 13 weeks, right? He's given all the specifics. You got to do this here and this there, and here's all the game plan. And then he gets to the end, and he's like, okay, don't forget, you know, no matter what happens in the game, just keep giving 110% or whatever sports cliche you want to stick in there. You know, have fun, right? Just don't forget to have fun. Whatever it is, it's like, here's the thing to remember as we go in to execute this game plan, as we go to walk it out. It's kind of what he's doing. And so he starts off with, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So first off, right away we see again, and this has been all through Ephesians, that it's God's strength that we need to rely on. His strength, his might that we're relying on. And then this here, though, like, Paul's always going back. In this whole chapter we're going to see, he's going to be referring back. So he's already talked about this strength, and it's back in chapter 1. He said this, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So he's going back. This was part of the prayer that Paul did for them way back at the beginning. He says, I pray, and this is what he wants us to know. And so he starts off with, don't forget. Where does our strength come from? Don't forget. it comes from, first off, that we have an inheritance. We have eternal life that nothing can take away, right? It starts with that, our salvation. But then he goes on, he says this, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. You see some of the same language he's using there. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. So he starts off, he's like, okay, don't forget, finally, okay, be strong. You're going to have to be strong. Not your strength, God's strength. And where does that strength come from? It is the same strength, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's what we have as Christians. So you're about to go have to walk this Christian life out. And it's going to be hard. Brace yourself. Get ready. Okay? You're going to need strength. Not your strength, but you have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living in you. That's the strength that you're going to need to rely on. That, and Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father in all authority. All things have been put under his feet. Do you believe that? Like right now, Jesus, our Savior, is sitting in all authority in heaven and on earth. Has been given to him. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Right? We believe that. And it's out of that strength that we be strong in the strength of his might. So he gets us ready. Get ready. There's going to be a fight. Why? And then, so what do? Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So he introduces this picture. Put on the armor. And I just love anybody who loves Pilgrim's Progress. I just love that story. If you've never read that, listen to that. I think there's a movie on Right Now Media. It's free to anybody in the church. It's a kid's movie, but it's good. But that's the picture. That's the whole premise of the book, is this, the main character, Christian, he goes from the city of living a life of destruction, and he gets saved. And then early on, he gets this armor. He gets given this armor for all the thing he's going to face. And then he goes out and he's facing, dragons. I can't remember all these different incredible, difficult trials that he has on his way to heaven, to the heavenly city, the celestial city. And that's the picture. That's where the author, Paul, would have got it from. That it's that picture. Paul Bunyan, I mean. That's who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, right? Yeah, I got that right. Okay. That's what he would have got it from, Ephesians 6. That's the whole picture of the armor. And so it says, put on, take up this whole armor. We're going to have to put this on. Why? Because there's an enemy. There's an enemy, the schemes of the devil. For us to live out this Christian life, to walk it out, it's not going to be easy. Why? Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy, the devil. And so I just want to take a moment and just be clear on who it is, this enemy that we're facing. Because there's, if you think of the devil and what media and movies and stuff like that portray, that's not what the Bible says, okay? I think it's often skews our view of who the devil really is. This is who the devil is. The word devil, that name, his name, means accuser. Okay, you can see that in Revelation 12:10 there. So it means accuser. 12:10 says that in the presence of God day and night, accusing God's people. Right? That's what he's doing. He's accuser. If you've heard the name Satan, it means adversary. He's against us. He's against God and anything good that God has made. That's who he is. He's a created spiritual being, an angelic being, okay? So this is one of the things that I think in the movies and everything gets wrong, that it kind of pits like God and the devil kind of like on this equal footing, that there's like good versus evil, light versus dark, Star Wars kind of like whatever, pick your movie out there. It's always kind of this like battle between good and evil, like there's these two equal forces that are always competing against each other, but that's not the truth at all. There is one all-powerful, eternally existing being, God, the one true God, right? And he created everything, both seen and unseen, and that includes the devil, okay? He's a created being. He is not eternal. He hasn't always existed. He's created. He's not all-powerful, okay? He can't just do whatever he wants. He's within the limits that God allows. He is not all-knowing. He can't know your thoughts, okay? You can let him in. You can let him in, but he can't know. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-present everywhere, okay? He's limited in that way, like an angelic being. He is an angelic being. And the story that we know from what we can, the Bible doesn't tell, like go give a really detailed account of how it came to be, but we can piece it together from, I put the references there if you want to look more into it, but that he was an angel who rebelled against God, okay, and decided that he didn't want to be the rule of God, didn't want to worship God, he wanted to be worshipped like God, and he rebelled against God. In the Revelations passage, it talks about a third of the stars, kind of given this imagery, and so that's where, you know, we would say that, is that referring to angels? A third of the angels were taken with him, and so it's not just the devil, he's the prince of demons, it says. So these fallen angels that rebelled against God with Satan were cast out of heaven, and that's what the demons are. Demons are fallen angels, and the devil is the prince of, the ruler of those demons. And so that's what we're fighting against. That's who this devil is. Okay? And what does he do? He schemes. You see that? Schemes. It means crafty deception. Wily, I think someone's translation has. The wiles, some of the older ones. The schemes of the devil. We've already seen this in Ephesians 4:14 in that passage about being the unity of the church. It talks about, it tells us to grow up in Christ to avoid the deceptions, the evil, deceitful schemes of the devil. The Bible clearly, it calls the devil the father of lies, in John 8:44. The devil is a deceiver, it says in Revelation 12:9. And so that's what he's doing. He's constantly looking to lie, to deceive, to twist. That's his way of attacking us, okay? And we can see this. You think, like, that's what happened in the garden, right? That's how he deceived. What did he come? He came disguised, deceitfully. He lied to Eve, right? That's how he works. He twisted the truths. Did God really say that? Is that really what he meant? But doesn't it look, you know, that's how he works. He looks to deceive and twist. That's how he tried to tempt even Jesus, right? When Satan comes and tempts Jesus, what does he do? He used scripture, right? He took scripture, but he twisted it. He deceives. That's what he does. That's how he attacks us. And that's the schemes that we need to stand against. So again, I go back. Like, this is a concluding to the whole, everything we've learned in Ephesians here. Paul's going, okay, stop. And he's going, okay, everything, just think through. You know, the conflicts that we talked about that come up in marriage, in parenting, in your workplace, the worldly deceptions. Remember we talked about the world and the darkness. We'll get to that later too. All these things, that's what is in mind here when it's saying, look, at these are the ways that he deceives us and leads us astray that results in those things. That's what we're walking in as human beings. That's what we encounter on the day to day. And we fall into it when we give him a foothold. That's from Ephesians 4:16. That one was specifically talking about anger, but sin in general is what, when we choose to, instead of listening to God, right, and we choose to go our own way, right, the way of the world, that's when we allow ourselves to be deceived, when we give him a foothold through sin. And we'll get into that more as we go in this morning. But that's how we're deceived. And so this armor is to protect us against that, and that's going to become really clear. So we need to stand firm, put on the armor, to stand against. We have an enemy. Who is this enemy? And it goes on and describes further, verse 12, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so he uses all these different words and terms, right? But really what's the point is that, look at, there's a spiritual battle going on. In whatever you're encountering in life, it's the challenges at work, the challenges in your marriage, the challenges in parenting, the challenges in the church, the challenges in the world, the temptations you are fighting against. He's going, like, don't forget that we're not fighting against just what you can see. It's not just another human that you're in conflict with. Devil is behind it, right? There's a spiritual reality that you're fighting against. And he uses all these different terms in that. A lot of scholars think because there is all these different philosophies and beliefs, like there is today, whatever this evil or darkness or force or whatever people believe. And he's like, it doesn't, whatever you've heard about that, look at, the devil's behind it. That's his point, okay? Whatever the philosophy is of where that, why, right? the evil is he's the one behind it. And so we don't wrestle against human beings, but against the devil who's behind it looking to deceive. And we see that. That comes right from this here, some of this language that we see here. We saw it earlier in Ephesians chapter 2 when it was describing what it was like before we were saved, and we are dead in our trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. There's that, some of that similar language, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. And so I just point that out to show that the devil's been given some authority here on this earth. He's working, right? That the world, we saw how the world has gone when it follows his ways, right? If it's a dark place. We're going to see that. We saw that in chapter 5 then too. What is the world that we live in, that we're trying to live out our Christian lives in? What's it like? It's this present darkness, these spiritual forces of evil, right? And so chapter 5, we looked at that. It said, for one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Remember that? That week we looked at that, and it described them as sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, greed, covetousness, all those things. That's the picture of the darkness of the world that we're trying to live in. And so instead, we're to expose those things. We're to walk not as unwise, but as wise. Why? Because the days are evil. And so we have these schemes of the devil. What do they result in? It results in that darkness. That's the result. His twisting, his deceit, his leading astray results in sexual immorality and impurity and idolatry and greed and covetousness and the darkness and the evil days, right? That's the result of it that we're trying to live out our Christian life, and that's what's coming against us. Those are the temptations we face. And so what do we do? What do we do? Verse 13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Therefore, one of my favorite words in the Bible when you're studying, therefore, ask yourself, what's the therefore, right? What do we do? We have this enemy, and all of this darkness, we're trying to live out the Christian life in the midst of all the darkness and the evil of the world, all the temptations, all the conflict we face in a day-to-day. We're to take up the whole armor of God. And interesting here, he's kind of repeating verse 11. I'll put it back on the screen. But if you look at verse 11, he's already said, put on the armor of God, right? But there's one difference there. You see how here he says, take up? And I just thought this is something we'll see as we get into the armor, which is coming next. But what we're going to see is there's this reminder that we have that foundation of salvation, the putting on, but there's also the taking up, the day-to-day living it out. And we're going to see that come out as we go through the armor, but I'll just show you that even here. So verse 11 said, put on. Put on is like what was being talked about back in chapter 4. This is from chapter 4. What does it mean to put on the armor? Assuming that you heard about him, Jesus, and we're taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, that's kind of the Ephesians 2, the dead in your trespasses and sins, belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. There's the influence of the devil. But instead, we're to be renewed in the spirit of our minds and to put on the new self, okay, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So I just point that out, that the put on, he says put on, so it starts with our salvation. It starts with having that new identity as Christians, our identity in Christ. That's where it starts. That's the new self that we put on. But it can't stay there. So now we get down to verse 13, and he says, take up the whole armor of God. To take up is more of a picture of doing it like you're picking it up and you're carrying it with you. This is the day-to-day, and it made me think of like when Jesus said this from Luke 9:23. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, right? And so we see that in the message of the cross. We have the message of the cross, what Christ did, paid for our sin once and for all. We're saved because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. That's our salvation. But we don't just, okay, thanks, and then carry on with our lives, right? Jesus says you need to take up your cross daily and follow me. That you now live this out, right? You're now, your life, your entire life, including the rest of it, is now surrendered to him. He's your master. He's your Lord. And I think that's the picture of the take up. Yes, we've put on the armor, the new self, but now we got to take it up daily. We got to live in this armor. We got to make sure there's no chinks, no holes, right? We need all the armor. We got to take it up. We got to use it in our daily life if we're going to fight against, if we're going to defend ourselves, stand strong against the schemes of the devil. That's why it says, having done all to stand firm. Everything we can do, all these truths that we've learned in Ephesians, we need to do all, remember them all. That's why I love this picture of Paul, and he's given this picture of something for us to remember. We need all the armor, and then he's going to go through it here in the next verse for each one. It's kind of interesting to note, Paul wrote this while in prison or under house arrest, and it's likely that he was literally chained to a Roman guard while he's writing this. So can you imagine? He's like, you know, he's kind of like looking the guy up. Hey, this is a great image. You know, he's kind of writing it down. That's what I picture anyways. So we take it up each day, and then here's what it, and so now he goes into this armor. And he starts to give this picture of what this looked like. These are all the different things. He's going to bring in all the truths, all these things, the truths that are that the, these pieces of armor, being pictured as pieces of armor, they're all truths that he's already taught us about somewhere in Ephesians. Truth and faith and righteousness and gospel of peace, like all of this, these are all things that he's taught us. He's now bringing it all together, giving us this mental picture of armor for us to put on. So he starts here with the belt of truth. The belt of truth. In him, and this is we're going back to, where's the first place where he mentions, talks about the truth? It's back in chapter 1, verses 13. It says this, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So it makes sense, doesn't it? He starts with truth. He's like, put the belt of truth in. What's this truth? It's the truth of the gospel that saved you. That's the truth. That's where it starts, isn't it? That's what we start with. If you're not saved, if you don't have not received, accepted, if you're not wearing that salvation, that gospel of truth, you don't have any recourse against the devil and his schemes. You are still dead in your trespasses and sins, following the ways of the world, under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. That's what Ephesians 2, that's the description. One of the sons of disobedience, deserving of wrath, right? That's the picture. Salvation, the truth of the gospel is what is the starting point. Without that, none of the other armor, none of the, you can't defend yourself at all. It starts with our salvation by grace through faith. In him and believed in him, Jesus. That's the faith piece, right? And so it starts there. It starts with truth. And so I just wanted to pause there. If there's anybody here and you don't have not put your faith, your belief in Jesus for your salvation, then you don't have this defense. Nothing else, none of the other armor is going to matter, make any sense, right? You have to be saved. You have to have the truth. Have accepted, believed in the truth of the gospel for your salvation in order to defend, stand against. Okay. But then that's the truth of our salvation, but then truth, there's more to it than that, right? Before I get there. There's the truth then is also, not only is it the truth of the gospel that we came to believe and were saved, but then we live by it, right? And we talked about walking in wisdom during this series. And the foundation of wisdom is truth applied, right? It's not just that we know the truth that the Bible teaches. We have to apply it in the situations of life. And so truth is something, it's not just a one-time deal, right? We continue to apply it. It's why we have the truth of God's word, so that we can then go on and use it every day. You keep wearing the belt, and that's why it's kind of neat. The belt is what the sword was attached to, we'll get to, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, right? Where did it hang off of? It hung off of the belt. And then the other thing that was attached to the belt was this next piece, the breastplate of righteousness. And righteousness, the breastplate, righteousness just means, I think I've told you this before, if you see that word, big word, but I like to sub in right standing with God or right relationship with God. kind of just an easy thing to sub in when you're reading to kind of help you wrap your mind around what it's talking about. But so we have this breastplate of right standing before God, right relationship with God, and that we've put on. You think your chest is where you can take the fatal blow, right? That's what's covering your heart and your most crucial our organs, right? And so we've put this protection on. It's this righteousness that protects our most vital from the death blow of Satan, right? And so I thought of this verse from Philippians 3:8-9. It says, Paul's talking here too. It's another letter he wrote. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. It's kind of talking about his salvation. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. Not having a right standing, a right relationship before God that I earned. Ephesians 2:8, you know, that not by man's works that any man should boast, right? That our salvation is by grace. Not in a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, doing religious duties, you know, coming to church, reading your Bible. That's not how I get this right standing before God. But that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So that's the breastplate of righteousness we're talking about, okay? So we go from hearing the gospel, right, have that salvation, and now we've been clothed in Jesus' righteousness. We have a right relationship with God. We're not perfect, but he is perfect, and he has given us his righteousness. So that's what protects us, right? The devil can't take that away. Right? It's not something we earned that's on shaky ground, that's at risk of, you know, you cleaned yourself up to a certain point, but uh-oh, what if you make a mistake? That doesn't matter because it's not our righteousness. It's Jesus' righteousness that protects us from that fatal blow. The devil can't take that away. Okay, that's the picture of the breastplate of righteousness. And so then what do we do? So now we're protected, we have that truth, we're saved, we're clothed in Jesus' righteousness. Let's go out. And as for shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Okay, now we can go out, now we're protected, now we head out. And the shoes just are that picture of the rubber meets the road, right? That's where we're going to put some miles on. And what are we to take with us as we go out into life? We're going to take the gospel. And where did in Ephesians, where did he talk about the gospel of peace? Well, that was back in chapter 2 as well. He gave this picture, if you remember this. In Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, right? So that's talking about that relationship between us and God. Jesus' blood has made us right, given us a right relationship with God. But it's more than that, because not only that, but who has made us both one. He was talking to Jews and Greeks. Both one has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, killing the hostility. So this was how Jesus' death not only made it gave us peace between us and God, but he abolished that difference. Last week, you quoted that verse from Galatians that there's no more male or female, slave or free, Jew or Greek, right? It's that he took down. We don't have to be Jews to know the one true God anymore. We don't have to go to the temple in Jerusalem every year. We don't have to do all those sacrifices. We don't have to. Why? Because of Jesus. He has given open, equal access to anybody. His grace is for anyone if they would receive it. And so that's the gospel that we carry with us. That's the gospel of peace that we carry. And I just love this verse 17 because he gives Jesus, just think of Jesus. And he came, Jesus came and preached peace to those who were far off. He went to the Samaritans, he went right. And peace to those who were near. He brought this gospel message to rich tax collectors, to the poorest of the poor, to the lepers, to the outcast, to the, right? He preached it to everybody, preached to the crowds, anybody who would listen. Think of the miles that Jesus put on his sandals, you know? The desire he had, he brought this gospel, and we're to follow him. He's our example. We're his disciples. And so we're to follow in that footsteps. We're to put on the gospel, the sandals of the gospel of peace, and take that with us wherever we go. And this is where I just remind us, church, as Christians, that we have the answers that every human being is searching for. Those questions of where did I come from and what happens when I die and what's the purpose in life? You know, we have the truth. There's all kinds of people out there, all kinds of things that are said, try this, try that, this is what the meaning is, that's what, here's a purpose over here, all those, and yet we're the ones with the truth that everybody is searching for. We're not a competing, you know, viewpoint, okay? There's all deception and lies, like we're looking at this morning, and there's one truth, and we bear it. You get that? That's what we're carrying. We have what people are searching for, even if they don't recognize it. Right? That's what we carry. You think, and even to bring it down into the day-to-day, right? The rates of anxiety and fears and unknowns, like all the things that people struggle with, where's the hope in this life? We have the answer. We can tell people where they can find that peace and that hope that can't be taken away, that isn't dependent on how good they are, that they don't have to earn it in some way, don't have to do some bunch of... We have the answer. We can give them peace to what they're seeking and searching for. That's the gospel of peace we're carrying. That's what the youth heard on Friday night. I got to come out to youth. That was the devotion. We have the answer. The gospel message is the answer to all the hopelessness and searching for something. That's the gospel of peace that we're to take. Jesus, our example. 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. That's what we're looking at as young adults in our young adult study, kind of looking at different. But yeah, to have that, be ready to give that answer. And then the next piece is the shield of faith. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And I like this picture of faith. We use this when we talk about faith in church, right? It's kind of, there's kind of two faces to it, isn't there? When you think about faith, there's sometimes we use the word to talk about our salvation, right? Like, and the Bible does this too. It makes sense. So Ephesians 2:8, very familiar, for by grace you've been saved through faith. We're talking about that saving belief in Jesus as Lord, his death and resurrection that saves us, right? That belief in that. We talk about that faith, right? Which is essential. We talked about that. Okay? But faith, we also talk about it sometimes in the surrender of our lives. That day-to-day, what are we holding on to in belief in order to navigate, to live out this life? And so we see that chapter 3, verse 11. Oh, that's still the saving faith. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. That's the saving faith again, right? That's what gives us access to God, makes us right. But then there's this other faith. There's this faith that's allegiance. My one commentary said faith in action. I like that. And we see that in Ephesians as well, in chapter 1. For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, right? Paul's writing to the church. He's saying, I've heard about it. He's not saying, I heard about you had some salvations last Sunday. That's not what he's talking about, right? He's saying, no, because he tags it with, and your love. This is that, if I was to say this again, this is that, for this reason, because of I heard of your faith in action, could have been said like that, in the Lord Jesus, in your love toward all the saints, right? It's that kind of a faith. And so when it says to take up the shield of faith, yes, you know, the starting point, we have to be saved. We have to have that faith in Jesus to be saved. But this is that, we have to take it up every day. Whatever we encounter in the day, we need to use that shield of faith. We need to take it up. Not just have it there with us. We need to take it up in order to defend ourselves against the flaming darts of the evil one, the devil. And so if you just think about that, think about what you encounter in a day. I don't know, when we talked about workplace stuff and relationships and challenges and disappointments and all the things that we encounter, right? And the devil is just looking. He's looking to strike you with shame. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it. with guilt. That sin is too great for God's grace. You know, all these lies. Remember, he's the father of lies. All the deceit that he sends your way, the one that just tries to tear you down, and you're not good enough, and you can't make it, and you'll never be accepted, and that kind of a thing. And you have to take up the shield of faith and say, no, what's the truth that we learn in Ephesians? I'm a child of the one true God. I am a child, and nothing can take that away, right? I am loved by the creator of the universe. I have an eternal inheritance that's guaranteed, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Right? So that's the faith we take up in those moments when we're feeling torn down. When we're coming up against a circumstance where there's fear, like we don't know what's going to happen, and we're afraid, right? What do? We remind ourselves that you're too weak and you're not going to be able to get through it, is what the lies of the devil says, right? We need that shield of faith that says, no, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Right? There is stand strong in the strength of his might. That's the faith we need to pick up in that moment. When we can't see what's going to happen, when we don't know, when there's the fear of the unknown, we need to pick up that shield of faith and remember he's all-knowing, that we can trust him, that he has a plan. He hasn't forgotten about us. The shield of faith, we pick it up. And then it ends with this, the last couple pieces of armor, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And I just noticed something here too. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That was really interesting. I didn't notice that until I studied it for this sermon. I hadn't noticed that before. All the other ones, a piece of armor is tagged with the verb, the action. I don't, you know, take it up, fasten the belt of truth, put on the sandals, take up the shield, you know, all these actions. You get to this one, and it's take both. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. It's like the armory guy's handing you both. You know what I mean? Because that word take, it's actually receive. It's actually different than the other take up. It's a different word. This is just, he's giving it to you, okay? Which makes sense with Ephesians, what we've learned in Ephesians. Salvation is not our doing. God has given us that salvation. And along with it comes the sword of the Spirit, comes the Spirit. And I go back to that. I just love this verse. 1:13 again. We'll look at it again, but the second half of it. In him, Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, there's our helmet, and believed in him, Jesus, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You see how they go together? If you've been saved, if you have the helmet of salvation, you have the sword. Okay? You can't get one, you don't get one without the other. You got it? That's kind of the picture. It's saying you get both. You get the helmet of salvation, you've been given the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. You have that. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And note, and this is, if anybody's ever studied this passage, the sword's the only offensive thing we have, right? This is the only thing we have to fight back, is the sword of the Spirit. And so how do we fight? Well, there's kind of two ways that we can fight. How do we fight? And they're kind of one way, two aspects to it, if you will. You'll see that. How do we fight? It's by the word of God. So we have the Holy Spirit, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So get away from the religious language and just think practically here, right? What's the situation you have in your life, right? Think of a decision you have to make. A situation, maybe a conflict, something relational that you're trying to resolve, to work through. What is that? How do you approach that? Well, it says the devil's trying to deceive. The devil wants your marriage to fail. You realize that, right? That is his goal. He wants it to fail miserably. He is going to look to divide, to create conflict and tension. That is his goal. He wants you and your kids, the house to be chaos, for there just to be fighting and anger. He wants you to be frustrated. That's what he wants. He wants the church to be divided, right? This is what we're fighting against, right? That's what he's working day and night, nonstop, with all the demons. That is their goal. That's the arrows that they're, and what do we have to fight against? We come in those situations, we have the word of God, and so what do? We go to God's word, but it's not enough just to read it, right? Not just to know what it says, the words on the page. We know this because, again, the devil tempted Jesus with words from Scripture, right? The Pharisees had the Old Testament memorized, and Jesus said, you might have all that memorized, but your heart is far from me. It's not enough to know it. We need to be able to apply it to the situation that we're in. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, right? And so when you go to read, when you have a situation, we go to the Word of God, but you stop and you go, God, give me an answer. Speak to me. His Word is living and active, it says in Hebrews, right? It's living and active. And so Holy Spirit, show me. You show me from your word how to apply this to this situation. I need your truth. It's like, I love the picture of the sword, because if you think, like, you can be given a sword, but if you just blindly, like, just wield it, like, you're not going to last very long in battle, right? And so the picture is like the Holy Spirit's telling you, they used to practice for years and years and years. It's like he's telling you what stroke and how to defend and what to do. That's the application. That's what wisdom is, right? Wisdom is knowledge applied. It's taking the truth that we know and applying it rightly to the situation. And so we pray and we listen. And so if we're reading God's word, listening for the Holy Spirit to tell us, to show us what to do, sounds a lot like prayer, doesn't it? You see how they're connected? And so that's the thing. We're listening as we're reading for him to direct, to apply the truth to our situation. We need the Holy Spirit for that. And that's why it's commas, it's one sentence. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Right? It's all one thing. That's why it's like that. Because it's one, we're reading prayerfully. Okay? And I said there's kind of two things. It's, you can just do that in reverse, because it works the same way. When you can come into a situation, what's the first thing we should do? Pray. Right? But we don't just throw up a prayer and then kind of hope it went somewhere, right? We listen. This is a relationship. There's a God who speaks. We have the Holy Spirit. And so we pray for God to give us, to help us in our situation. And then we listen. And when we think we hear God giving us direction, how do we know it's God's voice? Mm-hmm. We compare it to the Word of God, right? Exactly. So when we hear his voice, we go, is that with Scripture? Does that align with the inspired word of God? And then that's how we know it's God's voice, and we can go ahead and with that direction that he's given us. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. So we pray, we read. And we saw that example. I was just thinking Jesus again, his temptation. That came up a bunch of times when I think of Jesus tempted in the desert, and Jesus says to Satan, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Just love that picture. We're living on the words of God. So to kind of wrap it up, this is going to be kind of our doers of the word, our application for this week. How do we stand strong in life's battles? Okay, and I want you to think through, it's so easy to read a passage like this and think really kind of just, I don't know, theoretical, right? Like just, but I want you to think of the decisions, the things that are going on in your life. Like, think of tomorrow. What are you going to face tomorrow? Relationships, tensions, is there any tensions with anybody? Is there anybody you're going to interact with, right? Is there any decisions you have to make? Is there any challenges you're in right now? What are the things you're going to face? How do you stand strong, right? And that was the picture. All these truths that we've learned, you just picture that armor. I need to have faith and truth. I'm protected by the righteousness. I need to be carrying the gospel of peace with me. And that's the picture. So we put on our identity as a child of God. We don't forget that. We always remember, right, that we have the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation. We're wearing Jesus' righteousness. This is the reminder of our salvation that no one can take away, okay? But we can't forget the take up part, because you can fall into the, like, yeah, I'm good, I'm saved, I'm good, and then you carry on doing whatever you want. I mean, that's not okay, because we have to take up the shield of faith. We need to use the truth of God's word. We need to take with us the peace of the gospel, right? But don't do just that part and forget the first part, because then you become just religious. It's all about doing, 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 and you forget that God, you're safe, you're a child of God. And so we need both. We put on our identity as a child of God and take up the shield of faith and the truth of God and take the peace of the gospel with us. We've talked a lot about kind of the mission that Jesus has given us as a church. It was one of the reasons I wanted to go into Ephesians. We're wrapping it up here next week. But really because I wanted to remind us of exactly that, is we look to be the kind of church that Jesus is calling us to be on mission for him, to fulfill the mission that he has given us, not to just be a holy huddle that gathers together, but to fulfill the mission that he has given us, right? We need to remember these things, that we don't fall into error, that we don't fall into just becoming religious and doing it all the do and forget who we are, the love and the grace that we've received. It's out of that that we work for God's glory and our joy. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word, for this picture of the armor, just to help us to remember all these truths, to remember that we are children, sons and daughters of Almighty God, that like the shelter team reminded us, that you are building for us a home in heaven that nothing can take away. There's nothing the devil can do to take away that eternal inheritance as a kid, as a child of God. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit in us. So might we now live in that. Live as sons and daughters in relationship with our Heavenly Father. To live by faith. To build our lives on the truth of God's Word. And to be a light and bring the peace of the gospel to those that haven't heard. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.
I'll ask you to